This podcast is sponsored by ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. Everybody, welcome to Naval Gazing, the Valley Indie Podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll of ValleyIndie.org. Today, as of this recording, it's Wednesday, October 10th. This is an all derby edition of this podcast. My guest today, Mayor Rich Zekin of Derby. Welcome back to the podcast, Mr. Mayor.
Good afternoon, Eugene. Good seeing you again.
And joining him is his chief of staff, his right-hand man. What's your official title? Because I know it got sort of changed there.
Chief of staff / director of operations.
Director of operations, Andrew Backlick.
Yes. Thank you. Good to see you, Eugene.
So I wanted to talk, first of all, I was at a meeting last night of the Derby, one of the athletic field committee thing, the one that Keith McLiverty chairs. And there was, I didn't even realize the extent of the damage that happened in my neighborhood, Hawthorne Avenue, E Street, Grove Street, Chatfield Street, from this storm, this freakish storm that happened September 25th. Basically, anybody who lives in the path of the water coming down from the athletic field project, there's a giant, I guess, 3-plus acre construction project happening there. There was essentially, it's almost a mudslide. I guess that's not technically accurate, but there was a ton of rocks, damaged people's homes.
Right.
I guess my question is the city, I mean, obviously you're aware of the problem. What's the status of that?
Well, first off, that night I was out going around the whole city. Not only did that area get really hit hard, also Sodom Lane, also up on Gennetti Drive, so in Gilbert Street. So we had some overflow, some roads caving in. So it was a citywide problem. It really got bad over by the ball field. And a lot of people, when I spoke to them, haven't had any water problems prior to the construction over there. So Superintendent Dr. Conway went out, met with a lot of the residents there. It was a traumatic experience. I understand that. Where I live, I get water all the time. You get 3 inches of water, I have it in my basement. So I understand it, and I'm used to it. I know these people were having troubles, and some of them put a lot of money into their basements and stuff like that. But we are working with the construction crews, with their insurance companies. We contacted our insurance company immediately that next day. So we were on the ball. We were on there getting the information to the people as quick as possible. And then, you know, I give credit to Doc Conway being out there talking to all the residents over there.
And it seemed like the complaints or the concerns with the residents who live in that area was it's one thing to have water come down. That happens a lot. But this was, it's in their minds, complete incompetence of whatever entity was supposed to set up an erosion plan to allow rocks and big things to go down and stuff up all the drains and just create. I mean, we're talking about, one person said they have a cracked foundation, two swimming pools destroyed, or at least ruined. I won't use the word destroyed. And then, you know, I guess John Fitzgerald, my former landlord. I used to live at 52 E Street, so I know intimately one of the properties. That was all drainage system totally damaged there. So, who's to blame? That's what sort of what the residents are. How did this happen? I guess how do you have a construction project just sort of fall off the hill like that?
Right. Well, number one, you can't. number one, there was a lot of water that came down. I heard numbers from 8 inches out in Hamden. I heard we got about 5+ inches. I remember these storms back in the 70s and the 80s when I grew up on the east side. And I remember the brook behind my house coming up. I haven't seen rain like this in such a long time. They had erosion control up there. Was it enough to take care of this amount of water coming? Obviously not, because a lot of it blew out and went down the hill and, you know, damaged a lot of people's property. Was anybody expecting it? Can you prepare for something like this? You know, the construction companies have their standards and what they're supposed to do for setup for their job site. So obviously there was a lot of water came out that day. And unfortunately, it came down and it just went into all the houses and into the foundations and into the pools. And like I said, there's insurance companies there, and that's what we're going to work with them to, you know, rectify the problem and, you know, get these people back to where they were before this.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how much money the people, I mean, some of my neighbors have to just shell out. Well, if you get a lawyer, it's $1,500 just to get a retainer. Right.
One of the neighbors just the week before finished painting their basement.
Finishing that bottom, yeah, on Park Avenue we're talking about.
Yes, just finished. The week before he just finished that. And all the money, thousands and thousands of dollars that he put into it, ripped everything out. And what we ended up doing, too, is we usually just do a bulk pickup for once a month and all that. But what we ended up doing, because a lot of people had damages there, we just told them to put it out to the curb, and we sent Public Works down there to try to at least help them out on that part where they don't have to worry about going to the dump. So we were able to help them a little bit.
I was going to ask that, actually. Like, is there anything the city can do? I mean, obviously the city can't go in there and give everybody $5,000. I mean, that's why you have insurance.
Right.
But you say you made extra dump runs available.
Yes, we did. Like, especially for the flooding part of it, that, you know, we ended up doing that. So, it, you know, it helped out a little bit. That's one less thing they have to worry about that's off their plate.
Are you angry at that? Are you angry at the contractor up there in any way? Because I guess one thing he said last night, it was Turco was the name of the company. And he said, like, well, we put in a new berm. We did some drainage work. So, but if another 7 inches comes, this is probably going to happen again. Because there was some, like, finger pointing. He was saying, like, well, it's coming from the middle school parking lot. And then that's coming down a hill. And I'm at the bottom. And,
you know.
Is there a sense of outrage, I guess?
Because I think there's outrage certainly by the residents. From a city perspective, you know, there have been some issues with this project. There's no question. But in regards to the drainage, we're not engineers. We're not structural engineers. We are certainly sympathetic, I think, to the property owners that were affected. We're doing whatever we can do internally to engage not only our insurance company, but our attorney, the contractor's insurance company, and not just the one contractor, but all three that are working up there. Because, you know, who's culpable? At the end of the day, I think what's going to have to happen is, whether it be the city, the property owners, or the contractors, someone's going to have some sort of engineering study or opinion that shows that someone here was negligent. And it's unfortunate that in the meantime, people are kind of waiting for that answer. All I can tell you is that internally, we are working to get those answers as quickly as we can so that we can pass the information off to the residents.
And anybody who isn't familiar with the intricacies of these projects, we're talking about two different construction projects there. One privately funded through Joan Payton, and that's a baseball field, softball field.
And field house,
yeah. And then there's the city project of a new turf football field and track. So you've got a lot of different entities and at least 4 or 5 different companies up there working on these two separate projects. So it's really complicated. And on top of all that, you have some of the contractors and job managers fighting with each other, which happened in public last night. So there's sort of a mess going on with that project, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Sometimes sometimes there's too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know. And it's hard to get everybody to agree and be on the same page with certain aspects of that project.
And what was said last night, there's actually meetings happening today where the city insurance carrier everyone's going to be getting into a room to talk about, and there's an insurance investigator coming out for Turco to try to get to the bottom of all this. So yeah,
it's sad. I mean,
it just stinks.
You know, I went and I spoke to residents. I saw what they were going through, and it's, you know, they're in there, they have their construction crews in there, they're redoing everything, they're cutting the sheet rocks out and, you know, the rugs. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But it's tough. It's a tough situation, and hopefully we want to help the citizens get through it as easy as possible.
Okay. Then moving on, South Main Street, the former lumber company, whose name escapes me.
Housatonic.
Housatonic Lumber. There is what's going on there? There's a plan coming. I don't want to mischaracterize all the P and Z stuff.
So
Ted Estwan will be on me.
He will. And I got to say, between Ted and attending some of those meetings, that's been an education for the mayor and myself just to learn kind of the nuances of zoning.
Yeah.
But where we're at right now with that process is that on October 16th, there is a text change proposal that will allow certain development on the south side of Main Street. And we're hoping that that will actually extend to the north side of Main Street as well. So basically an overlay zone or a larger concept of what kind of development can happen down there that will give control to the city's planning and zoning commission to be able to say, hey, yes, we would love to see this particular use there, but we don't want to see, for instance, a gas station. I think at the end of it, the spirit of this thing is we don't want Derby to be a pass-through and a cut-through for people to get to other places anymore. We want it to be a destination. We want it to be a place that people are proud to call home and a place that people can come and enjoy some of the amenities that we offer.
And we were calling it the Beretta Group, but it's changed.
It's now. It's the Derby Downtown Development Group. So Derby DDT LLC for short.
And that's the developer.
And that is the developer,
they own
yes.
the land and they have a... I'm sorry.
Right now, I think they're still in the process of acquiring the land. The Berettas are somehow folded in as partners, whether there's going to be a land lease there. I'm not sure of the nuance of that part of it. But in terms of the developers, the builders, they have a land use attorney. They have a publicist. They have the little Poor Brothers, who are the builders who have a really good track record. And then we also have Rob Rawlson, who works with them, who was the economic developer for West Hartford through Blueback Square and some other successes that West Hartford saw. So this is about as real of a private development as we've seen on the South Side in a long time.
And there's a different sort of tactic happening, at least now compared to 2009 up until, you took office mayor.
Correct.
You have now... They're rewriting the zone to basically, they have a plan in mind, and the lawyer for the developer has proposed, well, here's what we need to make it happen. That's essentially?
Basically, yes. And there's a lot of working parts down there, too. I mean, that railroad spike that's still there that previous administrations never spoke about. I mean, we had them in the room the other day, the Housatonic Railroad, that used to go right up to Derby Feed. So we had them in the room saying, are you guys interested in doing something with this property? And they were like, okay, we've never been approached, but yeah, okay, what are you guys? So we showed them our plan, showed them our cards of what's going on. We have other businesses that are still down there, which we're negotiating with them to see what we can do with them. The old Life Touch building is still there. So there's a lot of working parts to try to get this one project working. And it's a private entity, and we let them do what they want to do. But we would like the city to have some control over what they're going to put down there. So that's why that DDD zone down there will work, as opposed to a DDD zone coming into the city for the rest of the city. I mean, I'm 100% for it for the south side of Derby because we can control it, and it's a commercial zone down there. The other one that's coming in, I'm sure you want to talk about that later, they want to do something in any residential area in Derby, which the residents aren't for it. I'm totally against that too. So, but for the south side, though, I think we have a good grasp on things. But like I said, there's so many working parts that we are trying to get together and let this private developer do what they want to do.
And so October 16th, we're talking about zoning and overlay zones and who knows what any of that means, right? People's eyes are probably bleeding. But it's important because you've got a developer now who has a plan. Derby zoning has to be tweaked to help this plan come to fruition, basically.
Correct.
So this could be a major step forward for the redevelopment on the south side of Main Street, which has been dragging on since.
Absolutely. And plus, the 34 project is getting folded into that. But, well, the 34 project should not.
Don't say it three times, because I'm sure,
but they're finishing up the remediation of the buildings down there. The state is coming through.
What buildings are they?
The ones on the south side, the old Alawas,
okay,
Friendly's Cafe, and everything like that. Excuse me. So they're getting ready for the demolition. They told us on that. They are scoping out the underneath because there's tunnels underneath the Route 34 from back in the 1800s where the water used to come through. We had to get permission from the north side so the state can go in there and inspect to see. Hopefully they can do what they have to do on the road. So, I mean, we're working every day. We're doing something new and something different that we never knew there was major tunnels underneath Route 34. We're like, right. We're used to carry the water from the reservoir out into the Housatonic back in the 1800s. I'm like, wow.
It is frustrating to drive on Main Street in Derby because it just looks
exactly
that, yeah, you know, it's just.
But we get developers and we get interesting parties coming in, and they'll sit in my office and they look out the window. They're like, wow. Look at this. You have the water right there. You got Shelton right across the street. You got that river walk there. There's like so much potential in here. And we're like, yes, we know. So we need help. And we haven't been sitting still. We've been talking and talking to people who want to listen, who want to come and talk to us. And we're trying to get the legitimate people out here to really take hold of something out on the south side.
And as the state given, I always forget when it's, have they, every time you ask for like, when's the shovel going to be into the ground, you suddenly there's a 5-minute conversation about phases and it's got to go, the Three Stooges Curly's got to sign off on it.
And give you about as succinct of an answer as I can give you, and that is tomorrow, Carmen DeCenzo, the mayor, and I are heading up to Newington to the state DOT to discuss the final infrastructure and utility design. So, in other words, all the utilities, how are they going to be positioned under the road? What are the needs of this new private developer? And how does that all integrate between the Derby-Shelton Bridge project, the Route 34 widening project, and now this private parcel? It's all kind of, or this private project, it's all kind of interrelated, and we really need to work with the engineers to understand how that infrastructure is going to look. Now, in terms of shovels in the dirt, I hate to give a hard date. I know the mayor hates to give a hard date because a lot of that stuff is out of our control, but I think we have no reason to believe that this time next year we're looking out our window at hopefully some actual work being done from a construction standpoint.
Hey, this is Eugene, most likely interrupting myself to bring you a word from our sponsor, ValleyGivesBack.org. What will you be remembered for? Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what matter to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action inspires others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. All right, so the Route 34 widening project is progressing. You've got a developer, a serious developer, ready to invest on the south side of Main Street for a project. So those two things are happening in Derby. And then you brought it up, Mr. Mayor, the Hops Company.
Oh, yes, sir.
This is just an interesting,
It's an existing non-conforming
A pre-existing property. Non-conforming use.
Yes, and that's how it was bought. Okay, so it was a catering facility back in the day. I used to work there. You know, they had their weddings. You know, they would have a Friday wedding. They might have a Saturday, Sunday, or two on Saturday, maybe one on Sunday. But the extent of it now, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they're having weddings in the back there. And it's the land can't hold the number of people that are coming in there. So, and I just got a letter, anonymous, showing Albert and Howard, the two streets that are adjacent to this
residential
property.
Residential streets, single-family
homes.
It
was completely blocked with traffic. There's bottles broken in driveways. The residents are extremely frustrated. So they were talking about a DDD zone for that area, but it's not just for that parcel. It could be anywhere in Derby. So now you could plop this type of establishment in your neighborhood, Eugene, where you live, if there's enough of land to plop something in there, or if they wanted to put a car lot in there. The DDD zone over in these areas, it's going to be open to interpretation, whatever you want to put there, basically. And then we have to rely on, and I have to rely on a board that I basically was there prior for me getting there. So I don't know most of the people on that board. I don't know
on which, on the P&Z?
On the P&Z, oh. Yeah. I inherited that board. I haven't appointed anybody on that board. So it's up to them to decide what these DDD zones are going to do. I mean, the south side of Derby is one thing because it's a commercial zone. So we could have some good control on there. The other one they're talking about is a residential zone now. I'm very wary about that, and so are the residents. I mean, it's just very hectic there. They had a big Oktoberfest of function this past weekend. I wasn't around, but, you know, I got the pictures from it, and the residents call. They're frustrated over there, and they're very terrified for a DDD zone in that area. So,
because they want to see their residential single-family homes preserved, and the land is zoned residential.
It is.
Traditionally, if there's a non-conforming use, at least what I've learned as a reporter, and I'm not an attorney or a land use attorney by any means, but I, you know, reported in Westchester County, New York, right? And Pound Ridge, New York. And when there was a non-conforming pre-existing use, it meant when the use could not change and it would revert back to zoning. So if you had like a, right. I don't want to say it, but if you had like a Roseland pizzeria, if that was sold or it went out of business, it would then, the only thing that could go there would be whatever the zone was, which was like single family mm-hmm. housing. So that's interesting. But then you've got the P&Z up there and you could see them struggling because you have a successful business. The Hops Company, they host a ton of community events. They've been successful, which Derby wants.
Absolutely.
But and like, what do you think the end, I mean, do you think they should just close down and move to the south side of, like, what's the answer?
The answer is, I mean, they're on that piece of property, so you should contain what you have there, which they can't right now. I mean, their numbers, they're up to like 700-800 people they can have on that property, but you don't have that many parking spots out there. And, you know, so we have to come up with a solution. I would love to see if they, I think they had a proposal to put another 40 spots on the property, but because it's an existing non-conforming, I don't know if we would have to go to zoning board. Because I'm like you, Eugene, I don't know exactly, but can we go to zoning board and appeal and say, listen, let's give them the 40 spots there and try to maintain what you have there, because the overflow is overwhelming for the residents now. They're getting to the point now where they're not even enjoying their twinkle home or their home life. You know, they're up late at night. Like I said,
it's
I
got a constant pictures. Worry. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, it's just it's rough. It's not what they bought into up there, and it's a single family area, and that's what they want it to be.
So you're saying don't do that DDD zone that's been proposed by the owner of the Hops Company through attorney Dominic Thomas, but come up with way to fix the obvious overflow parking problem.
We sat down. They hired a lawyer. Their lawyer, they got together, they were talking. We thought they had a resolution on this whole problem, but it was pulled back. So, I mean, if we can do it without going to courts and stuff like that, I'd love to see it. There's got to be a solution there somewhere where everybody's going to be happy. As it is right now, it's not working, okay? We have an ordinance coming up for residential parking. So now that's a hindrance on the residents there. So if you have a party at your house, your guests have to have a permit to park in front of your house now in your residential area because of the Hops Company, all their patrons going up there parking there. So, I mean, we got to sit down and come up with a solution because it's like we're button heads. And I'm happy this company is doing a great job in Derby and they're very successful. I don't think anybody was expecting this throughout the whole country with all these beer gardens and stuff like that. And I'm glad. I mean, Derby's on the map for this, especially with Bad Sons and everything. But we got to come up with a solution because it is not working. And I don't think the DDD zone for those areas and the residents over there don't think it's the right thing.
There's too many unknowns in that.
Absolutely.
DDD, the way it's written right
Absolutely.
Now. Absolutely. Which is also the argument of the attorney that the neighbors and Mr. Jolowick?
Jolowick, yes.
Yeah, so had hired.
Attorney Willinger and Attorney Thomas, who represent the neighborhood and the Hops Company on opposite sides, we were pretty hopeful a couple weeks ago that they were going to be able to come to some consensus agreement with a site plan change that would have allowed for the neighborhood to get what they want, which is basically, I think at the end of the day, what everybody wants is for the Hops Company to be self-contained on the parcel that they own, whether that means arborvitae all the way around, whether it means extra parking on site, whatever it means the win for everybody would be if it's not spilling out into the rest of the neighborhood. Unfortunately, because that agreement fell apart, we're back to the DDD as essentially the only option for what allows an existing non-conforming use to expand in any way. So whether we want them to add parking, whatever, if we can go to ZBA, as the mayor said, and have that be an avenue, like you said, the mayor said, we're laymen. I don't know zoning law. But from what I've understood is that the DDD will allow at least for them to make those changes, i.e. different layout of what's already there in order to make it more friendly to the surrounding neighborhood. So I think it's being spun as a big negative, and it's very scary to the neighborhoods. Much like with 101 Marshall Lane, there's you know, paper flyers being passed out to all the neighbors. Your property value is going to go down by X if you allow this. I don't know how much of that is true. It certainly wasn't true in the long run with 101 Marshall Lane. The mayor and I went to the ribbon cutting last week, and what those folks have done over there has been great. But it's two very different animals,
And I'm going to speak my piece on Marshall Lane. I mean, I think initially with that, the information never came out in the front. And right. I spoke that the last time we talked out here, that they were afraid these refugees were going to come out from...
No one knew what we were getting, yes. Essentially.
So if they came out ahead of it and said, listen, this is what's coming up. It's these students. They're home students. They're, you know, they have families that are get home or family support. They come in... what am I trying to say? Where they have home families that watch them over the year. It's the same group of kids that are there. I met them up there. Really good. So it's a completely different animal than what we got down the street there.
Yeah, because Marshall Lane was it was an unusual change of use to have a dormitory. That was just sort of a... Yeah. I've never seen that in 20 years as a reporter.
Right.
Hops Company's a bar. We know what a bar is in a residential neighborhood, I guess. So anything else you guys wanted to add?
Nope.
That's good. On that. So that's the Hops Company. I didn't think you guys would actually say anything about the Hops Company. Yeah.
You baited us.
That'll be going in court.
Good job.
tax incentive. I went to the very first meeting. There was sort of a, I was going to say cool, but that's what a geek I am. It was a good discussion of why Derby should offer tax incentives or whatever of some kind. Where does that stand? I think it's about ready to be approved at this point, or?
Yeah, the last meeting...
We approved it.
So we approved it.
It goes to the alderman on, I believe, tomorrow. Thursday. Thursday, okay. The 11th. So, is the 11th? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
I believe it is.
Yep,
so, Thursday, 11th, the aldermen who have been provided with a copy of what the committee came up with, it will go to them for approval in terms of just some of the numbers, some of the triggering numbers. In other words,
is where I was getting lost.
Yeah, so if you make X investment into the city, you will get Y back in terms of a tax abatement for a certain number of years. So at the end of the day, what the nuanced thing about it was, you have to add to the grand list. In other words, you can't take $1 million property, put $2 million into it, and you're not going to get anything. It's still worth $1 million on our tax rolls. So you have to add to the assessed value before you really trigger anything. So good example is these folks, the Derby Downtown Group, their project that they're proposing, however many millions they're proposing to put on a parcel that is really not being utilized other than for kind of some storage and some things like that, that is going to be a huge boost to our grand list and therefore the assessed value, and they'll get a break for bringing in new investment. There's also a provision in there for adaptive reuse, and this is where something like 101 Marshall Lane would come in, for instance. They took a building that was in kind of disrepair. They went in there, they cleaned it up, they added use. They did invest in our community. And even though the assessed value may not have gone up, they did make a positive investment and a contribution to the community. So we do want to recognize that and reward that for people that come in and grab buildings such as, you know, the Barron Block is a big hot topic. Buildings like that.
New graffiti on that.
Yeah, so it's funny you say the graffiti. The mayor has entered into a program where we get not free cleanup, but inexpensive cleanup of graffiti. So if private landowners or from a public perspective, we have graffiti that needs to be cleaned up, and it's all environmentally friendly and everything else. So we're really trying to do a lot of that. We actually have a citywide cleanup day scheduled for November 1st. More details to follow on that, but partnering with Home Depot and the school system. And just through with some of the public works guys out there.
And then about Home Depot real quick too. They just fixed up the Veterans Memorial at Water and Seymour Avenue. The ramp going up was very spongy. So Home Depot came in with their group, corrected that problem. stripped everything down, painted everything, new mulch and new flowers and everything. So if you drive by, you see where the cannon is over there. They did a phenomenal job. So I just want to throw out a thank you to Home Depot for what they did for our vets.
That's a beautiful property. I like that building.
Yes.
And then with the tax incentive, when if they increase their assessment, they don't get a permanent decrease in assessment.
No.
This is in 5 years, they go back to paying.
Well, it would be either 3, 5, or 7, whatever they trigger. If they trigger a certain amount, then it's going to go to that amount. And the reason behind that, too, is that they're going to be reinvesting that money, or they already are investing that money into the community. So by giving them an opportunity to you know, save some money in their pocketbook, but still put money into our community, I think that's a win-win for Derby.
And okay. And all the new developers that come in ask us that, do you have any kind of tax incentive?
Yeah, so it's like every
when
town,
we fielded that question through the first 10 developers we met with, we said, well, maybe this is something we should think about, and there certainly is no mechanism in place, but now there will be. So definitely good.
Assuming it gets passed
by
the Board of Aldermen. How's the Varka building doing over there on Coon Hollow Road? Did you guys sell it?
No.
Big building. Still a lot up in the air with
So at the Ops and Procedures Subcommittee last month, they talked about the formation of a committee to kind of handle and discuss the proposed uses of that building. That was tabled until next month's meeting, so unfortunately it does not go to the full board yet. But we have some uses within town. I know that it's been floated and talked about a joint senior center with Ansonia, but that really... Yeah, as with any city property, the aldermen control the use thereof. So it's got to go to them, and it's for them to really determine. We're hoping to form a separate committee of, you know, some community members, some people from the administration, everything, to really get going on that, because either A, we need to winterize it, or B, we need to start doing some work in there, because there's holding costs associated with a big building like that. We're paying an electric bill. We're paying a water bill. So it's time to really get rolling on that, and it's priority. Certainly you'll see something at the Board of Aldermen next month that will at least allow us to explore it a little bit more.
And that was, if anybody doesn't know, that was a former nonprofit business for people with developmental delays for job training. It was in the lease that when the use ended, it reverts back to the city.
Yes.
The city didn't acquire that property intentionally. It just sort of came to you. And then across the street, there was the water tower, regional water tower seemed to...
Yes, we're in negotiation with regional water right now, talking about, due to the fact that there's low water pressure on that side of the road,
on that side of town,
and with the hospital right there, with the school right there. So nobody would argue that safety is a number one priority for us. And a perfect area is right across the street from there. The elevation is good enough where... A sizable tank that they want to do would definitely boost up the area's water pressure. So we're talking to them right now with the aldermen. We're going to be in an executive session talking to them, and things look really good. They're excited. We're excited. And that's about all we can really say on that right now.
So that's ongoing as well. And then I think the last topic to touch upon, unless there's other things you guys wanted to talk about, you had talked to Andrew before we went on mic about some type of energy efficiency study thing.
Yes, so we're working.
Sorry.
It's okay. So, I mean, I think people hear this and they immediately think of the solar array up at the landfill. Which,
how's that thing doing?
And that's the thing. You know, unfortunately, we never had any controls in place, and nobody has certainly the ability to evaluate that amongst our city staff. So what we did when we came in and we were approached by one of these energy efficiency companies, Johnson Controls, was that we hired an owner's rep to basically manage that project for us. So we have Johnson Controls, and we have this other company, ECG, that evaluates all these proposed savings. If we put in LED lights in City Hall, we put in a new boiler in Bradley School, et cetera, et cetera. But the crux of it is all these projects pay for themselves. Certain items have a longer payback period, but essentially what we're looking to do is become more green, more efficient, save the city money in the long run with new equipment in places where previously we haven't been able to afford maybe an upgrade. The air conditioning in City Hall is, you know,
that's why I don't go to your meetings.
We've been putting duct tape on that for a long
man.
Time.
It's cruel to sit there last night out in that hallway.
It's not like it's on purpose either.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we're working on all those things. But that's in process as well. That's a far along in the process. So we're hoping that's another thing that next month will be, you know, coming down the pike to the Alderman.
And we also have a fuel cell company that came in.
Yeah, that's
very interesting. On Roosevelt Drive.
Is that like under construction? And
it's in the planning stage, but they are.
I think construction 19 from what we've heard, but you know, again, it's a private entity that, you know, it would be right next to the current UI substation, so we're near the dam over on the Derby Dam,
just up from Yale Boathouse. So it'll be in that area, and the designs on it are, it's going to fit right in. You're not even going to know what's there. Very safe the way they do it right now. So
and it's tax revenue.
It's a tax revenue for us, so we like to see that.
And what you guys had mentioned, Barham. Block in passing, but you know, I drive by there every single day. Is there a new buyer? I saw there is rent.
I was just at housing yesterday. I was speaking to them, so they are in the process of starting to renovate. Part of our deal with the new owners is that we have to give them 7 vouchers for residents inside there. They are in the process of doing half of that building, getting that ready for those residents, and then they're going to be doing the other side. But they are in the process of demoing it and pulling stuff out.
That's good.
The graffiti, it's a big eyesore, like, right? The graffiti that you saw in there. Yes, I got a company that we're going to be contracting with to start. I hate graffiti, so I want to start getting that. And they were a little backlogged on what they were doing because Ansoni has the same project and the same group that's taking care of it for them. So, you know, you see it, it's an eyesore. I want to get rid of it. So we're working on that. And also tomorrow. I know. Today, if it's going to be broadcast,
this will be up 8 p.m. October 10th.
8 p.m. Oh, okay, it's going to be after. But anyways, we had a
Tomorrow's Thursday.
It's Thursday. We are having a breakfast for the Boy Scouts, a fundraiser.
Okay.
Myself and Mayor Cassetti fundraised for it. They were trying to get about 5,000 for the Boy Scouts, but we're up to about 9,000 as of today, and we're honoring Father Sullivan from Ansonia and Gus Williams from Derby, two individuals that do a lot for our community and a lot for our children. So we're doing a breakfast honor for those two gentlemen.
Where's that going
to
be?
It's going to be up at Sons of Italy from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 to 9:30.
And Gus Williams, he was the commander of the American Legion?
Commander of the American Legion, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay,
so he's done a lot. So, you know, the Boy Scouts came up to me and asked me, and they asked Dave Cassetti, the mayor, what we can do, if we would help out. And absolutely. So, like I said, we're up to a little over 9,000 right now. So,
wow, that's
we're
really
proud about that. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
The only other good news I think we have is this partnership with Griffin Hospital and Aetna. Now, we switched our health insurance plan to Aetna Whole Health. And we've been working directly with Aetna and with Griffin to kind of promote wellness citywide. So you're going to be seeing a lot more with that now that we've kind of ramped up with them and basically been offering free health screenings to our employees, different meal prepping and planning and gym membership discounts to the Edge, which is huge. I mean, the whole thought process of that is to keep not only our city employees healthy, but the city as a whole, you know, that's keep Griffin healthy. But Griffin, the nice thing about Griffin and their philosophy is kind of treat things ahead of time. Instead of treating sick people, you want to keep people well is basically what so we're trying
that
to
whole plane tree model.
Yeah, we're trying to get on board with that. And Aetna kind of is that same way. And really, we're really pushing that in the city. And, you know, the mayor, I think through his experience walking early on in the campaigning, you know, really kind of took this to heart. And we're all on board with it within the city, and we've had a couple health screenings already that went really well. And you catch early onset diabetes and things like that, we're able to really get people on programs that can kind of address that early on rather than later when they have chronic disease. So,
all right. On that note, is there anything else?
No, I think that's
you guys
it.
Want to touch on? I want to thank you both.
That's good, Gene,
for coming in and talking to me and for being so open.
Yeah,
bringing up things I didn't even think.
Whatever you need, Eugene.
Whatever I need.
You got my number. You know that.
So. That's true. All right, Mayor Zinke and Mr. Backlick, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Eugene. Changing market now threatens our lives.